Let's go back to the book of 2 Corinthians together, shall we? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going verse by verse through this book of the Word of God together. It's very amazing, though, the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. While the Lord has been talking about giving, it looks like that God, the Lord, changes gears before he gets back into this desire to stretch the gospel. That's what he says in verse 14. Stretching out to get that gospel farther. And verse 16, to preach it in the regions beyond. But something, you have to get through something before you can get there. And that thing that you have to get through is how you're going to respond to the Word of God when maybe it's preached to you in a way that you don't appreciate. Tonight, the verses that are on our plate as we start verse 1 is a discussion about whether the Corinthians will receive the Word of God given gently or given boldly. And I think it would behoove us to look at that and think about that in our own hearts. Some people, unless the package is wrapped up nice and pretty, they can't receive it. And yet, you don't get to do that with God. And so I think it's very important. How many people have been brought along their Christian life and then something, or maybe it was some way it was said or delivered, ruffled the feathers, and they missed all of the things that God wanted to do just because they couldn't stomach the appetite of the way the thing was delivered. And the Apostle Paul is dealing with that here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, would you look at it with me? Verse number 1, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent, and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. By the way, you know you need to do that when somebody's preaching to you. Sometimes we lift verses out. I've done it myself in preaching on the mind, that you need to control your thoughts and your imagination. You need to control your thoughts when you're being preached to. And if something runs through there that shouldn't, you need to take it and throw it down. Amen. That's the context. Let's keep reading verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Verse 7, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. He picks back up with the theme in verse 1 and 2 again. Look at verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you. Am I reading the same Bible I'm reading? That I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. The question tonight is, how do you want the Lord to deal with you? He can deal with you gently, or he can deal with you boldly. That's what's being presented here in 2 Corinthians 10. The Apostle Paul is telling us he knew how to preach and communicate the message of God both ways. He knew how to do it very gently. You see verse 1 again? Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now usually that's the way we desire for God to deal with us. Gently. I mean, who wants God to deal with you roughly? But the truth is, we get to determine how God deals with us based upon our response. If we respond to the humble beseeching of the gentle Spirit of God, then he doesn't have to get bold with us. If we do not respond to that meekness and gentleness, then boldness comes through. And so we see both sides of the preaching of the Apostle Paul. I want to look first at the gentleness, or the gently dealing of God, or how the preaching, this is a real view of preaching or delivering the message of God, how the message of God is to be presented gently. He said in verse 1, I, Paul, myself, beseech you. Now you think about that word beseech. He says it again in verse 2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold. He doesn't want to deal with them boldly. Do you see that? He wants to deal with them gently. He wants them to respond to his beseeching. The beseeching in verse 1, the beseeching in verse 2. Some 20 times, if you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, you'll find that he beseeches the brethren. He beseeches the church. He begs them to do what they ought to do. You know, half my life I begged the saints of God to do what they should do for the Lord. Tried to beg and plead with them. If not in the pulpit, in private. And, you know, really, to be honest with you, God ought not have to beg us to do what's right. We ought to have an open heart and willingness to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, you don't have to beg me, you don't have to beseech me, you don't have to put any type of pressure on me, you don't have to make it bold or harsh. Lord, I'm open, I'm willing, I'm ready. But how many times do we come to the church house and we're not open and we're not willing and we're not ready, and the ground of our hearts is really not tender enough to receive a tender voice from the Lord? He says, I beseech you. I'm begging you to do what's right. I do what I've begged God's people to love the Lord first. I've tried to beg God's people to emphasize church in their life. I've tried to beg God's people not to wrap themselves up in money or things, but wrap themselves up in eternity. I've tried to beg God's people to have a view of souls instead of a view of self. I've begged God's people about so many things. Tried to beg them about the way they dress. I've begged God's people not to put naked pictures on the internet of themselves. Now, you understand there's degrees of nakedness. I've begged God's people about all kinds of things. I've begged God's people about things with their children that they don't understand. The things that you do, you're setting the example for your children, and they're going to do farther. You know, whatever your weakness is, they're going to go farther with their weaknesses. I've tried to beg God's people about so many things. I mean, beg them, please. I've tried to beg people to quit being bitter. I've cried tears in front of people on my knees trying to get them to quit being so hateful and mean and full of bitterness and get rid of all the animosity they have in their hearts. And Paul say, I'm beseeching you. And of course, the context is giving. He was begging them to put the Lord first in their life and the gospel first and not their own pocketbook. And I thought he did a really good job, don't you, in chapter 8 and chapter 9? He shows them the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He goes through all about sowing sparingly, reaping sparingly, sowing bountifully. He gives all. He talks about being a cheerful giver and about what even we get out of it. He does that really well. And he doesn't just stand up and say, you bunch of stingy people. He does it gently. He does it meekly. I'd say this, if you can't, you know, some young preachers, it's not just young preachers, some people can't preach gently. Some people don't have that gear. Yeah. They don't have a gentle gear. Now, all you have to do is ask, I see the wheels running. Somebody says, yeah, you don't have that gear. I do have that gear. You probably need to talk to the many people that may be even sitting in this auditorium that's been in my office, and they'll tell you I've got that gear. There's a gentle gear there. Yeah. And Lord knows sometimes it wants to come out a different way, but, you know, you got to go back in the gentle gear. And sometimes what people don't think is gentle is really gentle. It's the easy one. And we ought to be able to deal with people gently. If you only deal with people harshly, then you don't have the Spirit of God about you. I'll say that again. If you can only deal with people harshly, you don't know anything about the Spirit of God. How do you know that? Look at verse 1 again. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of who? Isn't it amazing that we're in Galatians chapter 5 right now going through the fruit of the Spirit, and I just read two words in the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness and meekness. That is the characteristic of who Jesus is. Now don't mistake that meekness for weakness, and don't mistake that gentleness for a lack of character or an absence of boldness. That's not true. Paul and Jesus himself could be just as bold as he could be gentle. But as we already learned, and I'm not going to re-preach about gentleness, we've got to understand how sometimes we have to deal gently with people. I would say this, if you don't deal gently with your children, you probably aren't a good parent. And then I would say this, if you don't deal boldly with your children, you're probably not a good parent. You say, well, preacher, what gives? I'll tell you what gives. It's called the character of Jesus Christ to know when to be gentle and when to be bold. The same as dealing with sinners. You can't deal with all sinners the same. You can't deal with all backslidden people the same. You have to have the character of the fruit of the Spirit to know what you're supposed to do and when and how. Jesus didn't deal with all people the same. Here he says, I want to deal with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I do not want to be, it's not that he's timid, it's just that he's trying to be, like we preached before when we were talking about gentleness as part of the fruit of the Spirit. He's trying to be gentle like a nurse with the children. He said that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. He talked about the man of God and the servants of God have to be gentle. 2 Timothy 2:24, Titus 3 and verse 2. Gentleness, the Holy Ghost will work gentleness in our life. So that's how we can deal with people. How many times people have made a mess even though they were doing right, but they did it in the wrong way. They even said the right thing, but they said it in the wrong way. Because God didn't want them to deal in the bold way, yet he wanted to deal with them, first of all, in the spirit of gentleness and meekness. Matter of fact, as we'll get into Galatians chapter 6, the Bible tells us when we try to restore somebody that sinned and backslid on God, he says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So there's a lot. Aren't you glad God's gentle with you? God's been so gentle with me. I mean, I'm sure through my life that my life story should be like one of those Three Stooges shows where it's just going like this right here, you know. That's what I really deserved. I really just God to slap me upside the head and just keep slapping me. That's what I deserve. And yet, He didn't break my leg the first time. He knows how to break legs too. Isn't that right? But he dealt with us gently. Now, if you don't respond to the gently, then you get dealt with another way. How gently God has dealt with us. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Look at it. Who in presence, I'm still in verse 1, am base among you. Can you see his humility? Gentle preaching is always preaching in humility. It's a lack of pride. He lowered himself. He made himself base among them. All true preaching needs to be have the absence of pride, the absence of arrogance. He's not being arrogant among them, though in a minute we're going to read the next verse. People are going to accuse him of that, actually. He not only has humility in this gentle preaching, there's some weakness there. In presence, he's base among them, but drop down to verse 10. Look at it at the end of verse 10. He says, but his bodily presence is weak. Do you see that? If Paul the Apostle was before us today, you would not be impressed with his physique. You would not be impressed with his strong voice. His testimony was when he got in front of other people, he was weak. I don't know how a weak person preaches till midnight, but he did it. He was weak. Probably one of the reasons he's weak because he's so beat up for God. But he, as he mounted the pulpit, his presence was not something that caused anybody to stop and pay attention. He was with them in humility and weakness, and he tried to deal with people gently because he wanted to help them. Look at verse number 8 with me. He says in verse number 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction. Let me tell you, the purpose for preaching is not to hurt you. The purpose of preaching and the purpose of the Word of God, just like the chastening. Look, man, I've dealt with Christians all my life that have been chastened by God, and God's whipping their behind. They don't even know it. But the purpose of that is not to harm. The purpose of it is to edify. What does the word edify mean? It means to build up. An edifice is something that is raised up on a surface. It's something that is built up. God wants to build you up, but you know he can't build us up unless he tears certain things down. You got to have the bad stuff out of the way before you can build something good on a good foundation. God didn't want to hurt you. God didn't want to destroy you. And even the context of verse number 8, 9, 10 down through there is bold preaching and rough preaching and hard preaching, and the message of God is terrifying. But the purpose of it isn't to hurt anybody. It's like Brother Roloff said. You know, that little boy came up to him and said, after he got through preaching, he said, Brother Roloff, why are you so mad? And Brother Roloff took that little boy and he said, young man, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil. And then Brother Roloff told that whole congregation, he said, I'm not mad at anybody in here, but I'm mad at the devil. But if the devil's in you, you're going to get hit. It has nothing to do with wanting to hurt anybody. But if you're, look, we're aiming at the devil. We're aiming at evil. But if you're full of evil, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get in the way. You better duck. But the purpose isn't to hurt anybody. I've had to grab preacher boys overseas that we trained to preach on the street, and they'd get on the street. I remember this Romanian guy, man, he's preaching up a storm. My goodness, he's just slaying hip and thigh. And I just let him preach, and when he got through, he came down off that platform and preaching that big square, and he did a good job as far as that. He came down, and I said, when he got down, I said, were you trying to help anybody? Or were you just whittling your sword? You see the difference? You know, sometimes we're not careful, we'll whittle our sword. And we're right. Yeah, you're right, but are you trying to help somebody or hurt them? And sometimes you got to cut people. But the intention is not to hurt. The intention is to edify. And so the Apostle Paul, look guys, the Corinthian church was a messed up church. And you've heard that time and time again, but all you have to do is read the book of 1 Corinthians. I mean, they're fussing and fighting and got their favorite preacher. By the way, that's another problem. Some people can't respond to a message unless it's presented in a palatable way that's their favorite preacher to hear. It's like the people that go through the delicatessen line and say, I don't want that. But you know, you're not supposed to get to pick and choose with God. Just eat what's on the... Some people are too picky of an eater. Hey, guys, it's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the things of God. It's not the vessel. It's not the one delivering it. Well, I like that one. Who cares? It's not about that. You know what Paul said? Look, I'm nothing. Apollos is nothing. We're all nothing. It doesn't matter. It's the Word of God that we need to be interested in. Some people are just so picky. And so I think the Apostle Paul gave them both. He gave them the boldness and he gave them the gentleness. And he says, you know, when I'm present with you, I don't want to be that way. When I write to you, it sounds pretty bold, but when I come to see you, I don't want to be that way. But it's up to you. It's up to you how you want God to deal with you. Because I tell you what, you guys got to stop that fornicating. And you guys have got to stop that suing each other. Can you imagine being in a church where people are suing each other? Now you said, preacher, how'd they go to the same church together? There wasn't another church to go to. If you were a Christian, are you listening to me? If you were a Christian, that's the only place you'd go if you lived in Corinth. They're suing each other. Evidently, there's some long-haired men in there. Can I get, am I in the Bible? And he had to write about that? You guys, that's a... Hey, man, he wasn't writing to the hippies in 1970. He was writing to the people in Corinth. He said, guys, it's a shame for you to have long hair. Even nature, you ought to know better than that from nature. You don't have to be spiritual. You just have to have a brain. That's pretty rough. And then he got on the women. Boy, we better move off of that one. Yeah, he got on the women. He said, your hair's a glory to you. There ought to be a distinction in how you look. I mean, this church is all messed up. God's killing them when they eat the Lord's table. He's dropping people dead. They get sick. And Paul says, which way you want it? You want it gentle or you want it bold? I can do both. I know which one would be better for our hearts if we would just submit to God and say, Lord, you know, you can speak to me any way you want to and I'm not going to be upset. I love what old Brother Earl used to say. He used to say, if God never spoke to him again, he'd be faithful to the Lord till he died. If he never spoke to him again. And we say, God, I'll let you speak to him, but don't speak to me like that. You have to speak to me gently. Well, look at verse 2. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 2. But I beseech you, if you had responded to the gentle voice, he wouldn't have to get any harder with you. But you know what? Look, guys, we're hard heads. That's why we need preaching. That's why we need bold preaching, because we're hard-hearted. You might as well go ahead and acknowledge it. We're hard-hearted. We need God to break up that fallow ground and break up that rebellion. Break up that coldness. And he says in verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. So he says, now, when I come to town and preach to you next time, I'm pretty much convinced I'm going to have to preach boldly to some of you. And I'm going to do that with confidence. Do you see that word? When I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. You know, we live in a day where the world despises godly confidence. Now, if you want to be confident in wickedness, they'll applaud you. If you want to go before Congress as a transvestite, anybody see that mess this week? Gag me with a pitchfork, man. Somebody, there should have been a Christian up there that took the microphone and said, you know, you're a pervert. A senator should have done that. You are insane, sir. Yeah. Why are you wearing a dress, sir? You're an ugly woman, sir. Yeah. Oh, that's so bold. No. If you're confident in sin, they'll applaud you. But when somebody gets confident with God and confident with the Bible and confident that God's right, oh, we can't have that. That's out of bounds. I tell you what, I don't want sissy preaching. I want a man to preach to me. Women aren't supposed to be preaching in the pulpit. He wants bold preaching. He wants that confidence. And it's not self-centered. It's confidence in God. It's boldness in the truth, not boldness in my opinion. But watch what happens when, and Paul even says this, I know what's going to happen. When I show up, I need to preach the hell out of some of you Corinthians. He knows that. And I'm coming to town, and when I'm going to be bold against some, look what he said in verse 2 at the end of verse 2. Wherewith I think to be bold against some, look at it, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You know what, Paul? I tell you what, that Paul just gets up there, and when he preaches, he just says some of the most arrogant and awful and hateful things. I mean, did you hear what he said in the pulpit? That was just so offensive. That's fleshy preaching. You know, it's always strange. Worldly Christians and Christians that aren't right with God always think bold preaching, there's something wrong with it. You know what? Look, guys. Sometimes I know, look, Brother Farley don't have a filter. He didn't have a filter. But you need to hear preaching like that. And you know what burns me up? People will make a comment or get offended by something Brother Farley said in a message, and they'll sit in their house and listen to F-bombs and GDs and everything else, and it doesn't bother them. You know what that is? That's called hypocrisy. We'll let the world say whatever they want to say, but when God tries to get a little bit firm with us, we won't step back and say, I don't think I like that. That's hypocritical. I got to be careful. I'm starting to get over in the bold section. Yeah, it's hypocritical. It's wrong. And you need to have thick. Look, some people are so thin-skinned you can blow smoke right through them. You can't live like that, guys. And this age that we live in, it is infectious. It's eating up our whole society. And what it does, it desensitizes everybody. If they ever do walk into a Bible preaching church, they're going to freak out because they can't take anybody ever saying anything to them that's halfway true. And he said, when I come, I'm going to preach boldly with confidence to some of you. Some of you need the boldness. And the ones that need the boldness are the ones that think that I'm walking after the flesh. I would have loved to spend a day with the Apostle Paul. I'd love to pray with that man. You can say a lot of things about the Apostle Paul. You're not going to convince me that he was a carnal, fleshly man. How did somebody get that idea? It's the way he was preaching. Oh, God wouldn't talk like that. Are you sure? Are you sure you know how God would talk if he was here? Now, I know there's arrogant preaching. I know some things ought not be said in the pulpit. I'm not saying that. I try to pray. God knows I do. Lord, I pray it all the time before I preach. Lord, please, I beg God, please don't let me say stuff I shouldn't say. But you know what? Sometimes I don't want to say something and he wants it said. So sometimes that bold preaching appears fleshly to some. Look on down. He says in verse number 8, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction." It's authoritative preaching. In other words, you always know correct bold preaching because it doesn't say, well, if you want to do this or you don't want to do this, it's just up to you. It's not up to you. When Jesus Christ started preaching, all the common people stopped and they said, there's something different about this Jesus preaching because he doesn't preach like the scribes and he doesn't preach like the Pharisees. You know what they said about him? He speaks with authority. He believes what he's saying. He's not playing a religious game. You know, probably your kids know if you've got the authority behind what you say or not. Guys, it's not going to work to tell our kids to love God when they know we don't. There's no authority behind that. There's no authority when we tell our kids to straighten up and do right when we're not straightening up and doing right. But there's no authority behind it. He said that I should boast. I should boast. Man, if a modern day person said, I don't care how right with God he was, if one of our missionaries wrote a letter back to us and say, I'm going to boast of the authority, you'd say, God, that guy needs to get right with God. Would you not say that? That's what he wrote. Because God does give out authority to people to preach his word and to lead and guide the church. He said in verse number 8 at the end of the verse, I should not be ashamed. I tell you what, Christians ought not be ashamed of the truth. That's bold preaching. Don't apologize for the truth. Don't apologize for what God said. Don't apologize for what you are. Don't apologize for what you believe. That's weakness. He said, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of this preaching. I'm not ashamed of my ministry to you. It even gets deeper. Look at verse 9. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. You know you're giving something boldly when people get terrified when they read what you wrote. Terrified. Why would they be terrified? Well, look at chapter 12. I'll give you a little input with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Yep, you ever remember as a child, maybe you didn't, but I remember it, as a child where you got in trouble and dad was off at work and your mom said, you just wait till your dad gets home. Anybody besides me remember that? And I spent the rest of the day terrified. And all of a sudden I turned into a great child. And all of a sudden I wanted to help mommy. And I wanted to be so kind and nice and talk to mom. And try to talk mom into not telling. And it never worked. And I just sat in terror. I mean terror. I couldn't play. I couldn't enjoy the day. Because I knew I'm in trouble. He's coming home. Right? Watch 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 19, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God and Christ, but we do all things dearly beloved. See how gentle he is? Dearly beloved for your edifying. What a gentle, meek thing to say. Look at the next verse. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found of you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many that have sinned already and have not repented. You know what he's saying? Daddy's coming home. And when I come home, if you've not repented of your sin, I'm going to bewail you. Look at chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. You know, they probably wouldn't showed up for the meeting. Well, we better skip that one. What if the preacher called out what you've been gossiping about all week? To the whole church. That'd be pretty bold, wouldn't it? What if the preacher in front of the whole church, you know how Brother Furman was saying, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What if the preacher did that publicly? I'm telling you, he's not playing church. He's not playing games. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and when he wrote to them, they were terrified. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 18, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 18, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Look at verse 21. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Look at it. Or in love and in the spirit of meekness. Church, you know what he said? He's saying to them, which way you want God to deal with you? You want God to deal with you in the spirit of meekness and in love, or do you want him to deal with you with a rod? And it's all determined by my heart. If my heart will yield to the Lord, go back to our text. He said, now my letters, you've been terrified by my letters. Verse 10, 2 Corinthians 10:10. For his letters, say they, are, what's that word? Weighty. Weighty. The best way I can describe that to you, I used to argue with the Lord. Sometimes I'd get through preaching, and I'm telling you what, it was like, and it still happens sometimes, it's like 4,000 pounds was put on everybody in the building. It was weighty. It was like, whew. And I'd say, Lord, I like people coming out of the church house excited and praising the Lord and encouraged and happy. And man, and I used to argue with the Lord. Lord, I got through preaching and everybody looks like they've just been hit by a 10-foot truck. What is going on, Lord? I don't want to do that. I mean, it looked like, you know, their best friend died or their dog died or something. And they're just... Evidently, we need that sometimes. Because we're so flippant sometimes in the way we live our lives that nothing is serious. And we don't take things to heart. And they said when they got his letters, they were weighty. I mean, it was heavy on them. And I'm telling you really, guys, if the Spirit of God, if the Holy Ghost ever really broke through a meeting. And I've been in some of those meetings when I was younger as a child. And those heavy meetings where the Spirit of God settled in and people really got right with God. It was heavy. It was heavy. But it was lasting. They say his letters, they're weighty and they're powerful. Look at the rest of verse 10. He said, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech, look at that. His speech, what do they say by his speech? Wouldn't you like to hear the Apostle Paul preach? Wouldn't you like to hear him preach? No, you wouldn't. I'm just reading the Bible. You know what the word contemptible means? Something that is despised. In other words, when Paul preached, they didn't sign him up for the conference. His speech was, am I reading the King James Bible? His speech was contemptible. Contemptible, look it up in the 1828 dictionary. It means despised. It means disdained. It means deserving of scorn. Something that is contemptible is vile. Something that is contemptible is the word mean, not in the sense of somebody's mean as in angry, but mean in the sense of without dignity. Or low-mindedness. Guys, I tell you what, I think every one of us, we're so impressed with fluff that if God Almighty walked in the pulpit and preached, we may not be impressed. If the Apostle Paul walked in and preached, there'd probably be some of us right in here that said, boy, I didn't like that. Contemptible. You know what he said in the book of Malachi chapter 1? You know what the people of God started saying? They started saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. In other words, they weren't interested in the table of the Lord. You know what the table of the Lord is? Jesus has a table spread where his saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus every time. And yet somebody says, I'd rather watch TV. I'd rather get on my phone than listen to Brother Thompson or Brother Farley preach. You know what you need to do? I'll help you out. You know what you need to, everybody in here? You need to go home and use that computer and pull up some messages by Oliver B. Green. That's what y'all do. You ought to pull up some messages by Brother Lester Roloff and listen to him preach. Pull up some messages by Vance Havner and listen to him preach. Listen to these old men of God preaching. You know what you're going to find out? We've come a long way, baby. That's what you'll find out. He said that his letters were weighty, he's powerful, but his speech is contemptible. Look at verse 11. And then he says this. He ties the rag on the bush. He said, let such an one, verse 11, think this. That's, now listen, he's talking about mission giving. He says, I tell you what, I'm coming to town. And I know last time I was there, I was gentle among you. And I don't want to come bold this time either. And when I came last time, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, he said, but you know, you all say my letters, or my bark is a lot worse than my bite. And you get my letter and boy, it's terrifying. And then I show up and you said, well, it wasn't that bad. He said, the people that think that this time, this is what I want to tell you. He said in verse number 11, let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. He said, you thought my letter was rough? Wait till I come to town. Oh, man. Now, how do you want God to deal with you? And church, listen, the reason that we're picky about how God deals with us and how God talks to us, it goes back to what I told the church, I think it was on Tuesday night, because we think so much of ourselves. How dare somebody not talk to me just the way I want to be talked to? It's pride. And when Jesus can preach to people and call that woman a dog, like I said, Jesus preached to people and called them fools. Yeah. You see, and that wasn't just the Pharisees, guys. That was his disciples. He calls his disciples fools. John the Baptist called him generation of vipers. You know what? Jesus said, that's good preaching. I think I'll preach that too. Did y'all ever catch that? John the Baptist was the first one preaching that generation of viper stuff, and Jesus said, that's a good one. I'm preaching that one. And he did. He said the exact same thing John the Baptist said. Called them hypocrites. Jesus. But he could be very gentle, couldn't he? But if you don't want the gentle side, you get the bold side. Paul called him. Jesus called them whited sepulchers. Paul called them whited walls. And that was a reviling. That was almost, it doesn't come across the page, but that was almost a curse word, what he said to that high priest. That's pretty rough. They said, revilest thou the high priest? So Paul said, I would to God he weren't the high priest. because we shouldn't revile the high priest. But he called him a whited wall. What about his letter? Paul named people. That great, sweet, gentle, kind letter of Philippians. And he says, tell them two women to start getting along. And just so the whole world will know who they are, I'm going to write them down in the Bible. How would you like your name written down in the Bible because you can't get along with somebody else? That's pretty stiff. Can you imagine going up to Syntyche and saying, oh, you were the one. When you get to heaven, I bet she's going to be so embarrassed. I wish she hadn't called me out. You know, we can't take people talking to us to the face or talking privately or in a church. What if God calls you out in all eternity? They call people by name. Look, how do you want God to deal with you? I tell you what, I just want to give in and say, Lord, you can call me whatever you want to call me, and that's exactly what I am. But Jesus Christ looked at Peter and called him Satan. You can't call anybody worse than that. He looked right at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, and looked right in his eyes at his chief disciple. You're the devil's who you are. Whew. You know what we ought to do? We ought to all just get right with God. Amen. And when we do, we'll be able to reach the regions beyond. And when we'll humble ourselves and let God just tell us the truth any way He wants us to, tell it, then the gospel will go farther. And the service of God will be sweeter.